So I don't know, I'm just a real advocate for women realizing that they are more valuable than just producing children. And I think it's really sad that we still have to say that, but it is such a pernicious belief, you know, that like you're not valuable if you're not producing. And especially if you're not producing children, there's this belief that you have to produce something else. You just live, just fucking getting up every day, getting dressed, eating food, and existing is enough. That is enough. And if you manage to do something that brings somebody else joy, then that's even better. But like, God, you don't need to earn your keep on this planet, you know?
Welcome to We Are Child Free, a podcast about child-free women and the lives we lead. I'm your host, Zoe, and each episode I'll speak with another incredible woman about her decision not to have children and what it's meant for her life. That voice you heard up top belongs to my first guest, Dr. Kate Thomas, the woman's spiritual empowerment mentor. Kate works with badass women and non-binary people to radically improve every element of their lives by teaching and training them in ancient spiritual practices. I could have talked to Kate for hours. She was born in England, grew up in Brunei, and has lived all over the world. She's practiced ethical non-monogamy for years, and at one point was trying to get pregnant to make her husband at the time happy. All of this lived experience plus 20 years working as a professional psychic has given Kate a unique perspective on women's potential for radical change and the forces that try to keep us in our place. Before we jump in, a quick content warning. Kate and I can get a bit sweary at times, and we briefly discuss childhood abuse, infertility, and abortion. I try to have open and honest conversations, and if these are sensitive subjects for you, I completely understand if you decide to skip this one. That's quite enough from me, so let's jump into my conversation with Dr. Kate Thomas.
So it was a funny thing. When I was growing up, I was pretty clear I definitely didn't want to have kids. It was just something that wasn't going to happen. Or rather, it wasn't even about a desire. It was just a knowledge that that wasn't going to happen for me. And I was very happy about it. But then I've actually been married. This is my, gosh, how many marriages? This is my fourth marriage, okay. Which is always sort of laugh about because people are surprised for some reason by that. But the first marriage was terrible. The second marriage, I was just convinced that actually I needed to have children. This was something that was culturally very important to my husband at the time. And so went through this whole sort of process of changing my mind and deciding, no, you know, I never wanted children. I felt that this was not something for me, but maybe this could work. Maybe this is, you know, I was wrong. It's fine. I can be wrong. And so went through a process of, you know, trying to have children for about 6 months. And then it turned into a year and it just wasn't happening. And then, you know, I think for a lot, I encounter this a lot with my clients. I think for a lot of women, there's so much cultural pressure and expectation. It's not even a question that we're asked often, you know, like, do you mm-hmm. want to have children? It's only a very modern question for women. And so it was fascinating for me to experience that almost real time pressure of just the true expectation to want to have children and then to have them and then not be able to have them. So I didn't want them, then felt this deep pressure that was the only thing really that I should be doing in that particular period of my life. And then I couldn't. So I had what they describe as unexplained infertility, but basically I have terrible endometriosis and wasn't able to produce an egg that was sustainable. Anyway, whatever. And it was just the best thing I can say, like, honestly, hand on heart, like, thank fuck that didn't happen, because the marriage was a disaster. But also, God, I never really wanted it. It instead for me became like a sort of an achievement that I needed to finish and manage and achieve. And I just, you know, wasn't physically possible in the end. And then when I found that out, it was almost this wonderful sense of relief. Like, oh my God, that's like, fine. I can go back to my own life now. You know, I tried and it didn't work. And so I've almost like done the job that was expected of me. But of course, I hadn't done the job that was expected of me, not in that marriage and not in that family. So the marriage ended, you know, almost immediately.
Okay.
But that was, oh my goodness, truly a blessing, like truly.
I mean, you know, the world works in mysterious ways. So, I mean, you know, it's horrible that you had to go through that. And I'm sure it was a traumatic experience. But, you know, like you say, this is something that actually has worked out to benefit you, and that you didn't have to be with someone maybe. And even if you split up with someone, when you've got a kid, you know, you've got to be with them for the rest of your life in one way or another. Yeah. And I can't imagine what you know, people go through when they have a child with someone who they don't like anymore, and then they divorce. I mean, nightmare.
Yeah, and I see it every day. That's the thing, like with the work that I do. I mean, I don't just teach the program that I teach, which is my sort of primary passion and love and main work, but I also have been working as a professional psychic for 20 years now, and majority of the women that I see that have children, I mean, truly, I can say this, if they don't regret having their children because they loved their children as individuals, but a lot of them either regret having children with the people that they had children with, or they regret having children despite really loving their children. And I just think, my God, I really dodged a bullet. And like, who the hell wants to be attached to a man that you no longer like, let alone, you know, forever? Christ.
No, thank you. Yeah. I mean, it's, you're so true about, you know, people having kids with people who maybe they did at one point want to be with them, but I mean, life it's tough. And then, you know, you add in a child to that, it's a strain on a relationship, right? Yeah, I mean, you've got to be you have to have an amazing relationship to go through something like that. And I'm not surprised that it does break up relationships.
Yeah, I mean, totally.
You have no sleep, and I mean, and maybe you've got different parenting styles or whatever, but it's a lot of pressure for a relationship. That always freaked me out as well, just thinking, you know, if I ever had a kid, like, what if my relationship didn't survive it? And that's a reality for a lot of people.
Absolutely. And also, I think for women, it's, you know, it's so, it doesn't matter how much you tell yourself, okay, at the end of the day, I'm wise enough to realize that I'm going to be doing 75% of the work, whether you like it or not, whether you think that's fair or not. Like, at the end of the day, I've never, ever encountered a heterosexual relationship with a child where the woman isn't doing at least 80% of all labor. So even if you go into that relationship telling yourself, okay, this is going to be fair, and but if it's not, it's okay, I'm prepared, I will do 75%. I know, because I see this again and again, like my good friends. You're never prepared for the injustice of being the prime parent. And I just, oh my God, I feel like it is the biggest blessing. I know this sounds really, really far too evangelical about not having kids, but I mean, maybe this is the right audience, I don't know. But
definitely.
Truly, I'm just like, thank God, every single day I'm reminded of the possibility that I, you know, also I have friends now, I have like very close friends of mine that technically could be my daughters, and it's terrifying. It's absolutely, I mean, that's just terrifying because I'm pretty old now, but I just would have absolutely no way to not destroy my life by having a child. Just, yeah.
And why do you think it is that, like, some relationships, or most relationships, they end up working, the main childcare, it's always the woman? I mean, because we can have men who are, you know, they're really woke or whatever, they're like super all about equality, they say all the right things, but when it comes down to it, it doesn't really happen. Yeah, and like, why is that?
I mean, white supremacist capitalist patriarchy. I mean, that's the reason, isn't it? Like, basically.
Pretty much.
I feel like that's sort of the answer to everything that's wrong in the world. But no, I think it is almost impossible for any cis man, even whether they're straight or they're het, it doesn't make any difference, or gay, it doesn't make any difference. I think that you can't be brought up as a cis man in this world, however, you know, educated you make yourself, and however intentional you are with being sort of focused on justice. You cannot be brought up as a cis man in this world and not just have just ingrained in your very understanding of who and what you are certain assumptions that mean that you don't have to do certain things. It's just not who you are and what your job is. And I think that it's not, you know, like, don't get me wrong, it's not like I care to be, you know, sort of saying it's not their fault, but I think that there is a certain level at which, you know, truly equal relationships between cis men and women are just, you know, not, I mean, I don't think it's you're really going to have a hard bloody time. It may be possible, it's just going to be very difficult. If you add a child to that, then I think it's like, just don't bother, don't look, don't even try, and hope for equality. It's never going to happen. And I don't think that's a reason not to have a child. There's many reasons not to have a child, but that isn't necessarily one. It's just, I think the sort of culturally endorsed idea that it's much easier now for women to have children and have a career or a life of their own, it's all just bullshit. Nothing has changed really since the 70s, I don't think. I mean, not really.
No, no. The more women I talk to, the more, I realise, you know, if anything, it feels sometimes like we're going backwards.
Yeah.
And I mean, I don't know what it will take to change it. You know, it's, do you have any ideas on what can we do to try and change, you know, the culture that is men do this and women do this and that's it. And you can, I don't know, what do you think about that?
Oh, I just think everything needs to just be burnt down. But I mean, right, really, like, burn it all to the ground. I'm like very, very excited about all the potential revolutions that are on the brink of happening right now. But I mean, I suppose, like, in our lifetime, what's going to happen? I don't know. I mean, I think this is like it's sort of a discussion that I've been having, or we've been having in this, in a close friendship circle of mine for years, which is, you know, what, in all seriousness, what does one do? What can one do? And I think that it's just about, you know, like I suppose anything, change has to come from your area of influence, and that starts with yourself, which is sort of why I'm passionate about the work that I do, because I think this is true liberative work. If you want to change things on a broader scale, you have to really, you know, such a cliche, but it's a cliche because it's true, you have to do the work yourself. And so I think on a practical level, that looks like, you know, really prioritizing and focusing on educating oneself about the nature of structural oppression, all forms of structural oppression. As far as I'm concerned, the primary sort of, you know, overarching structure that maintains racism, that maintains patriarchy, everything is capitalism. So I think for as long as we have capitalism as the, you know, economic model, we're all completely fucked. We are all completely fucked. But certainly when it comes to gender and you know, sexual politics, then there is, that they're so completely intertwined that you can't, ultimately, I think we need a full revolution, the overthrow of capitalism. That's my answer to everything.
I'm down for that.
Yeah, I think everybody's starting to realize, oh, this is actually bad. You know, like, it's funny, isn't it? Yeah.
I mean, we're in an interesting time right now. You're right. It's so many things are going on, and it will be interesting to see, can we really shake things up and actually make a change, or are we just going to carry on in this really depressing deterioration of society? And I don't know. It's some days I have good days and bad days. Some days I have hope, and then, you know, some days reading the news, you're like, oh Jesus, what has he done now?
Just like, which one? Which bloody one? Right? You know, like,
right?
This is the thing. Like, I also feel if one was ever looking for a reason to just desperately look for a reason to not have children, then you just, I mean, come on, guys, what are you doing? Like, why would you want to be bringing? I mean, it's such an old story, but why though? Nobody's ever sat down and given me an adequate explanation that didn't rely on just a pure biological selfishness, you know. What the hell are you doing though, bringing children into this fucking shithole? I just feel like oftentimes it's just sort of a lack of critical thought, and I speak for myself, like, having been in that position where I wasn't able, I didn't have access to whatever. I had no ability to really think critically about my choice or my decision. And I was in a space where I felt like I was just surviving, you know, like I just had to survive and I had to do the best that I could in this situation. And for me, as I think there is, it's the case for a lot of women, doing the best in your situation often does look like, you know, doing something that everyone is universally going to be pleased about and is going to congratulate you. It feels like it's some huge achievement. You know, it's, I think the problem is ultimately, you know, that we're all, I don't sound like a broken record, but we are all living under various forms of structural oppression. And I think that impacts women particularly because we have patriarchy and there is this like, historically, of course, the only reason that women were ever considered of value is their capacity to have children. And I don't think that's actually ever gone anywhere. And so, you know, let's say you're in the middle of a pandemic, you're stuck at home, you're bored, absolutely shitless, you've your career's not going well, maybe your job isn't working, whatever. It's like the go-to in the subconscious for most women or people that have been brought up as women even is like, have a baby, because that's like something joyful and good. And but actually it's just perpetuating the worst of everything. God, I've got so many of my friends have children. I love you all. Peace.
No, I mean, you know, I think we have to be honest and we have to put out what, you know, our true feelings and thoughts about this, because I do want women to really think about, you know, what they're doing a bit more, because like you said, some people are doing this as maybe a way to fill time. And it's like, okay, that sounds like it might be a good idea, but it also might be a terrible idea. So maybe hold on, maybe, you know, hold the brakes for a little bit. But I mean, it feels like we're never really honest with women anyway about what pregnancy and having kids is really about anyway. So, you know, like I have friends who are like, I didn't know it would be this hard.
That has a child said that, every friend.
Yeah. Right. And it's really, to me, it's traumatic to think that you could go through this process and not have a real, you know, good grasp of what you're getting yourself into. And we need to be really honest with women because, you know, once you do this, there's no going back from it. And I wish more parents were really honest about not just the positives, don't just share the lovely photos and all the hugs and the, you know, he said this and she said that. And what's the reality as well? Tell us the negatives as well, so we can really judge this.
And also, it's just so ironic, isn't it, that of course, you know, like the discussion around abortion, like how is abortion engaged with and discussed? Only ever all the details of how awful and traumatic it is, how terrible it is, how it just destroys lives. You better be sure and make the right decision. Well, I can tell you right now, I've had an abortion and it was the best fucking experience of my life. Like truly, I say this, not like, you know, hyperbolically. I was desperate to not be pregnant. Thankfully, it was only, I think, 6 weeks, 7 weeks pregnant. And it was the easiest, most straightforward, non-traumatic event ever for me. And I swear to God, the majority of friends of mine that have also had abortions and that have had children say basically what we're just saying, which is that the debate and the discussion around abortion makes abortion so terrifying and seem like this huge ordeal that scars you for life, that you carry the guilt around forever. I can tell you, I have never felt less guilty about anything. Like just that whole narrative of guilt around abortion, and let alone miscarriage, a totally different thing, but still totally fucked up narrative around women's responsibility and main role and like what your purpose of life is to just actually produce more men ultimately. And this terrible sense of like you're going to feel guilty and you'll feel guilty for the rest of your life if you make this decision, and yet the decision to continue a life that you don't necessarily want is just obviously the go-to, like standard, that's the default choice you should make. You know, actually, having an abortion was not traumatic. What was traumatic was everybody's response when I told them, oh God, I found out I'm pregnant, I definitely don't want to be pregnant, so I'm going to go and have an abortion next week. The horror, not that they were disapproving of the decision, but it was all this sort of whipped up like a projection of other people's bullshit, you know, onto what is basically just the removal of a collection of cells. I mean, that's quite literally what it was. I just find that so telling that, you know, we're not, like you say, women are not told the truth about these situations and also not given the space to create their own truths around it, their own narratives around it. Like for me, having an abortion was not a sight of failure. It wasn't a sense of guilt. There was no mistake made. It was a truly empowering choice that allowed me to continue the life that I had built and was building for myself. And yet, if I'd have had a child, it would have absolutely destroyed many people's lives, like my life, yeah. The father of that child. I can tell you right now, he didn't want that. The child itself, you know, my life, like we've got three lives as collateral damage here for one, you know, decision mm-hmm. that I definitely had no problem making. And yet, gosh, the narrative around abortion is, but that this is, yeah. you know, so tied up with church and,
oh, yes.
Yeah, of course, of course. I mean, I, my PhD is in Christian theology, so I know all about
okay oh wow
you know Catholic Church particularly and how narratives of abortion are still used now as tools of oppression. I mean, like, actively it's just yeah. a story about a decision that a woman has been making since the beginning of time. Of course, you know, it's not like abortions are
no
they're not
no absolutely not. No, I mean, how about your family then? Well, how have they kind of reacted to, you know, your decision not to have children? Have you had any pushback from family or friends or anyone?
Yeah, so my part of the reason I decided I definitely didn't want to have children was because my childhood was such a shit show. It was terrible. And I don't have, through my choice, any contact with my family, with my either of my parents. I'm completely disowned them. And that was after, you know, years of really complex psychological abuse. And so it in a way, you know, maybe 20 years ago, I would have been able to say, okay, I definitely don't want to have children because I don't want to bring a child into the world and fuck them up like my parents fucked me up. And now, of course, I have the same decision, but it's a far more nuanced understanding of why it's definitely not going to be the case that I have a child. But ultimately, you know, as I would say is probably the case for a lot of survivors of childhood abuse, you know, it becomes really, really important for one to not have a child to fill a gap or fill a void. And ultimately, I think very, very well, I know this because she would tell me this regularly, that my mother had me so that she had someone that would love her. And
oh, wow.
it's tragic, but also that's really bad. Like, that's like, oh, yeah. Okay, well, you know,
what are you meant to do with that?
What are you meant to do with that? Yeah, especially wow. when you don't, you know, like, damn, yeah. that's like your reason for being, and you can't even do that properly. Yeah. So, but sort of perhaps ironically, I don't know, my mother was always put pressure on me to have children before I cut off all contact with her. That was sort of one of the ways in which the relationship was, the dynamic was so abusive and messed up, was she was just constantly living through me and right. didn't get what she needed from having her own children. And so was hoping that I would have children so that she could get what she needed through them, you know, like
yeah,
some sort of, you know, much less dramatic version of, oh gosh, what's that? What's the awful horror film? It's actually a brilliant horror film, but is it Inheritance or Hereditary?
Oh, Hereditary, yes. Oh yeah.
It was like a sort of psychological version of that, you know.
Oh gosh.
Which I you know, did not have the child, so no one's going to be possessed.
Thank God. Thank God. Yeah. I mean, yeah, families, well, you don't have to pass any tests to be a parent, do you?
Exactly.
So it's, like, wow. it's a difficult thing to work out whether should people be passing tests or should we at least give them skills to do this? You know, even if we, I don't know, give them parenting classes. I mean, it would be, I think, a good way to ensure children grew up in a semi-decent household. And, you know, you can't change people 100%, but you certainly can hopefully give them more tools to be better parents.
I mean, I suppose it depends, doesn't it? I mean, who's giving the class, isn't it? You know, like, oh, in this hellhole now, I wouldn't trust any fucker that's going to offer me a class, you know what I mean?
That's true. I haven't really thought of it, Kate.
Okay, I'll leave it.
But yeah, it is really sad when you see parents kind of putting their aspirations and pressure onto a child of, you know, you have to be a certain way, you have to live the life I couldn't live. And it's really fucking depressing that that's what they end up doing. But I think it happens so much, you know.
Yeah, totally.
Because you don't have, parents don't have the time to live the life that they want to live, you know. And
well, this is the irony, isn't it? It's like if she hadn't have had me, she'd have not needed to have me. And
right, you know? Right. Exactly. Yeah. So it's really fucked up basically. What about friends? Have you managed to kind of, have you said you have friends who have children? I mean, their response, is it accepting?
I mean, I've got excellent friends. I have a really, really okay. excellent friend. So yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's sort of a joke amongst our friendship circle about, I mean, some of us have children, some of us don't have children, and like, but nobody would ever. I would be like, who's most likely to, you know, have a child? It would not be me. I think everyone's and agrees that that's good, you know.
Like, yeah. Oh, well, that's what you want. You want a good group of friends who backs you up, whatever. I mean, sometimes when I was kind of expressing my decision about not having kids, I was always very worried that my friends who had children, I don't know, would somehow be either upset with me or would, you know, give me some pushback. But
yeah. I mean, I've certainly experienced that from like people that I wouldn't consider friends, or at least maybe, you know, I think people are so keen. I mean, I think those two things, one, like not having children is the least controversial part of my life, I would say.
Right.
So like generally, if people are going to have something to push back on, it's not going to be that. But secondly, I suppose people just, you know, and I think this is the case for any sort of lifestyle choice that one makes that isn't approved of. People are just desperately, desperately looking for, you know, for their own terrible choices and decisions to be endorsed. And I think that the more they regret their choice, or rather, the more you represent a better choice or an alternate decision that could have brought them happiness, the more they're going to fight you and see you as a threat and something to be kind of attacked. Yeah. And I'm just, that's like my day to day these days. So I'm like, come at me, you know what I mean? If you think having kids is the most problematic thing about choices I've made, then yeah, no.
So yeah, you when you wrote to us, you explained that you have a partner, or you have multiple domestic partners. Is that right?
Oh gosh. So I can't remember. So I have at the moment, I can't remember when I first wrote to you, but since then, I think I was probably then marriage number three. So I'm now on marriage number four.
Oh, sorry. We've been so slow in getting this off the ground.
Really cracks me up. like Henry VIII. So probably when we first communicated, I was in, so I've been in a ethically non-monogamous relationships for years now, probably five or six, no, gosh, more like 7 or 8 years. But actually the last 3 years I've been in a technically pretty monogamous relationship, although politically both of us, my spouse and I, and my spouse Ames, both of us consider ourselves to be ethically non-monogamous, but in practicality and, you know, reality, certainly with the pandemic, that is like, we're pretty monogamous. But I think it's sort of important for us both to always, you know, we wouldn't describe our relationship as a monogamous relationship, because monogamy is connected to and filled with so many, I think, pretty toxic assumptions about the ways in which relationships should be structured, which we don't buy into, at the risk of sounding like some like new age twat, like, you know, basically, yeah, definitely not pro monogamy. But you know, we choose not to see other people right now. And also it's just like literally impossible. The stress of it, my God, it's a very intense choice.
Okay. So when you met this person, did you know that they also didn't want children, or is this a topic you would ever broach with someone who you were either, you know, about to date, or, you know, how do you approach that with them?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, that's sort of a really good question, because people ask this, like other friends of mine and clients of mine that are dating. Yeah, straight away, I suppose for me, it's when I was dating, I would pretty much immediately let them know that that was something that's just not. I mean, it depends, doesn't it? Like, if it depends what sort of dating you're doing. If you're looking for a significant long-term partnership, then probably it's really smart to just say right from the beginning that that's something that you're not looking for, and you know about yourself that it's not going to happen. When I met Ames, my spouse, they were also in a long-term relationship with another partner. We were both non-monogamous. And so it didn't even occur to me. Like, I literally, when I met them, they were living in New York and I was living in London. And I was traveling to New York every 3 months just for work. And I was spending so much money in like really nice hotels, because I can't bear to stay anywhere that's not like, nice.
Oh, no.
Really, I can't do it. Like, what? I'm just too old for it.
So
I was, you know, going over there earning a lot of money, but spending at least half of it on hotel bills. And I thought, God, this is ridiculous. I'm in a non-monogamous relationship. I have other partners. Why do I not just find somebody in New York that is wonderful? I can have a great weekend working and staying with them, and then I'd have to stay in nice hotels. Like, literally, that was my intention. I was going on I think it was Tinder, or maybe it was Tinder or OkCupid. I can't remember. And OkCupid, and then I met Ames, and so it was just literally going to be a sort of hookup situation, but you know, maybe we'd like each other. And unfortunately, stroke fortunately, I mean, I was married at the time in a non-monogamous relationship, and my husband had another partner who he was in love with. So this was all sort of very permitted, but we completely fell in love. Ames and I completely fell in love. And so it was like, oh shit, now what am I going to do? You know, you're in Brooklyn and I'm in London. But so we never had that conversation until it was a bit like, okay, I think I might be moving to New York. Yeah, by the way, I definitely don't want to have children, and fortunately they were in agreement, so that's sort of worked out.
Oh, thank God. Yeah, I mean, that's must have been relief.
Yeah, I mean, I think at that stage, I don't know what I'd have done. It would have been bad, but I definitely wouldn't have had children. I mean, I knew at that point. I don't know. Maybe if this is the thing, isn't it? You never know if you're really, really in love with somebody.
Yeah.
I certainly wouldn't have had it wouldn't have been my body that had gone through the having child situation. So.
Right. Yeah. That's the thing. I think, I was talking with this, James, my husband, and you know, he was saying, so like, would you ever say, if your sister needed a surrogate, would you ever do some? And I was like, well, that's the worst bit. I'm having the baby, and it's like,
absolutely,
it's almost
not.
Like, yeah, it's like it's like almost if James had said to me he desperately wanted children, I was trying to think, you know, could I have switched my thinking around? And you know, I love him so much, I could have done it, but I always would have been...
You'd have hated him forever.
That's it. Seriously, that's exactly it. It's like, yeah. I would have hated every part of what that baby did to me, and I would have held on to every negative thing about that experience and blamed him for it. I knew that. So I knew that then you cannot have a child that way. Mm-hmm. How can you have a child when... you're basically having the biggest compromise of your life, and it's never going to work. It's never going to be a positive for one of you massively.
Yeah.
I think that's it. That's why just saying it as soon as you meet someone, or you know, being honest with people obviously helps the situation. But yeah, that compromise is just, I think it's too big a compromise for myself, and yeah, for you as well, I'm sure. So.
I think it's just like, we're just so encouraged to compromise with everything as women, and particularly women in heterosexual relationships, which I was in for many years.
Yeah.
Just the expectation is that, and also there's this really toxic narrative running that like love over everything, and that if you love someone enough, you will sacrifice. Oh, I mean, obviously I've got this particular lens because of my academic studies, but this also comes from Christianity, you know, that love equals sacrifice, and sacrifice of everything. And of course, very conveniently, in the Christian story, of course, the sacrifice always comes from the oppressed parties. You never find actually the people in power being sacrificing themselves. But
exactly,
this is the case, though, in like heteronormative patriarchy is precisely this, that, you know, we're just taught as women that it's our job. And if you really love your partner enough, you will sacrifice mm-hmm. your body, your life, your fucking whole existence.
Mm-hmm.
It's so... you know, it's so pernicious as well. It's really like subtle, you don't notice it. And then you've even though that's a question is so wild, isn't it? That we would even right. ask ourselves, like, could we do it? And I've asked that, you know, and I got to the yeah. point of knowing I didn't want children, but hoping that I would get the approval and the love that I wasn't getting in my second marriage by having a child. And really, truly, just by the, you know, grace of God, that I didn't achieve that, because oh my goodness, I mean, I yeah, just terrible. No,
yeah, no, I mean, I'm very grateful that I met someone who was on the same page as me, because I mean, it is a horrible thing to meet someone who you fall madly deeply in love with and they are just on a, you know, in a going in a different direction. And mm-hmm. But I do think if this is something in that someone desperately wants in their life, I just don't believe you can compromise on this. I just think I mean, maybe there are couples out there who can, you know, I don't know, switch their thinking and actually, okay, they never wanted this, but maybe it works out great. But I think that's the men. I think it's yeah, exactly. it's easier
they don't
for
do
them.
Shit, do they? They don't have to.
Yeah,
like, getting married is the same thing. Like
exactly,
nothing to really change.
That's it. I mean, the guy is the one who gets to have the best bits, right? I mean, it's like the playtime and, you know, and the you know, the kids say, oh, I love you, daddy. And then daddy goes to work and he goes and has fun and goes out with his, you know, his friends. And then it's mommy who's stuck at home yeah. looking after the kids, and their body is, let's face it, completely altered by this mm-hmm. process.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think that's the only way that it could work, is if it's the guy who never wanted kids, and when, you know, they have them, he sees, okay, this is kind of fun. You know, I don't get none of the shit, basically.
Yeah.
But the other way around, I just don't ever think that it's possible for a woman to, yeah, change their thinking on it if they go through it. But yes, is there anything else, Kate, that you wanted to talk about? We've covered some amazing topics there. I mean, I could talk to you for the whole evening, I think. So is there anything else that, yeah, you wanted to discuss?
The thing that I think is really important is just that women, I think it's really important that women know whatever stage they are at in their lives, that, you know, even if they're super young and they know that they don't want to have children, or they have a feeling that perhaps they don't want to have children, listen to that, like fucking yeah. listen to it, because I'm so glad eventually that I did. And if I hadn't have, then mm-hmm. my life would be so radically different to how it is now. And my life is amazing. I have an incredible life. And I think that's the other sort of great irony about this whole sort of attitude towards women that choose not to have children. It's this idea that somehow we're sort of sad, lonely, like, or we'll become sad, lonely old ladies, or no one will look after us. And it's like, well, fuck no, that's not happening. I'm going to be richer than you, motherfucker, because I haven't spent £500,000 on like some bullshit. You know, like, my wardrobe is amazing. My house is amazing. I have a really great car. Like, all my career is like significantly better than it could ever have been if I'd have had a child. And my friendships are strong. You know, my relationship with my partner is amazing. And I see this as a direct result of not having a child. It's not in spite of not having a child. It is because I did not have children that mm-hmm. my life is as rich as it is. And I also think there is this really, you know, I think this is sort of worth mentioning, that the narrative around not having children as selfish is such a real thing. Like, this idea that somehow you need, in order to contribute to the community, you need to just be consistently like producing. Well, that's connected to capitalism, this obsession with production. And, you know, like, you have to earn your keep. Your existence has to be valuable because you contribute to some produce. Well, that's messed up, but also it's just really untrue. Like, if I think of all the women in my life that have contributed the most to me and to their community, they are actually almost without exception women that don't have children, because they have the space in their lives to build things, whether those are businesses or communities or relationships, ideas, you know, like write books or whatever it is that one decides to do. And they haven't had their life force drained out of them by individual, you know, family units that just suck the brilliance out of women's, you know, lives. So I don't know. I'm just a real advocate for women realizing that they are more valuable than just producing children. And I think it's really sad that we still have to say that, but it is such a pernicious belief, you know, that like you're not valuable if you're not producing, and especially if you're not producing children, there's this belief that you have to produce something else. No, you just live, just fucking getting up every day, getting dressed, eating food, and existing is enough. That is enough. And if you manage to do something that brings somebody else joy, then that's even better. But like, God, you don't need to earn your keep on this planet, you know?
I'm nodding furiously. I'm just, yeah. 100%, absolutely. I mean, that's a really lovely place to end our wonderful chat. I really could talk to you for the whole night. And I would love, do you have any, is there any place that people can find you online to find out, you know, about your more of your work?
Yeah, absolutely. So my primary platform is Instagram at the moment. And my Instagram is Kate Thomas PhD, and it's Thomas without an H. Everybody tries to search for somebody else and are disappointed. I am Kate Thomas PhD. And yes, so I teach the Spiritual Life Upgrade, which is the program that whenever I talk about, everyone's like, everyone needs this, which is a year-long sort of pretty intense mentorship in spiritual practices, but within a community and of women, which is just the strongest sense of solidarity. I only work with women and non-binary people, but primarily women. And that's like life-changing, life-altering in the best possible way. So it's 12 months of sort of super intense support, really, to get you reconnected to your sense of purpose and direction, and then teach you some very, very real magical practices in the meantime. And then I also offer a psychic reading. So I've been a psychic for 20 years and very successful, fortunately, with that. I have 4 sessions a month that are available to book. And all of that can be found on also my website, which is drkatethomas.com.
Oh my God, sign me up.
You would be perfect.
Seriously. I mean, yeah, everyone go and search Kate out, because you are doing such amazing work. And it's really been an amazing experience to talk with you. And thank you for your honesty. I really appreciate it.
We Are Child Free is hosted by me, Zoe Noble, and produced by James Glazebrook. If you liked this episode, please leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, as this really helps other people find us. Head to wearechildfree.com to read more stories from incredible child-free women and find out how to share your story with me. Speak soon, lovelies.